Our scripture reading this morning, the first one is the Old Testament, the 116th Psalm, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. Love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Two guys were walking along in a wooded area at the end of a long day, and suddenly a bear appears from atop the next crest. The hikers eye the bear back and starts to charge. Well, one hiker turns to run, but notices that his buddy drops his backpack and starts fishing out his sneakers. "What are you doing? If we don't get out of here, we'll never outrun that bear." And his buddy responds, I don't have to outrun the bear. I only have to outrun you." In 1971, John Denver, love John Denver, released a song that would become one of his greatest hits. "Country Roads" became a hit single, and we all sang along with it when it played on the radio. And let's be honest, whenever we hear it, we still sing along with it. "Country roads take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads." I mean, it just came straight from the heart, and it made us long for the road home. It was so popular that West Virginia named it their state song. Now, here's a little trivia. Two of John Denver's songs have been adopted as state songs, the second one being, there we go, "Rocky Mountain High," exactly. Well, 9 years later, Willie Nelson released what many consider to be his signature song, "On the Road Again." "On the road again, I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again." And the song lovingly tells of the joy in traveling to new places and making new friends along the way. Well, our scripture text this morning from the Gospel of Luke begins with two followers of Jesus on the road again. And the day opens on the afternoon of the resurrection. But these two disciples aren't celebrating. They're leaving town. And the scripture says that now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened in country roads away from Jerusalem. Now, maybe the events of the resurrection had them all in a kerfuffle, and they just needed to get away. Maybe they just had enough or had seen too much, and they needed some space to wrap their heads around the events of the crucifixion and all of these rumors about the resurrection. Maybe they just needed some time to process all of these things. Perhaps they were walking away from hope or dashed expectations. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Perhaps they are hurt, having felt the sting of lost hope. I mean, reality has brought their hopes crashing down, and they are grieving for what might have been. For these two disciples, Emmaus is the road of disillusionment and disappointment. However, Jesus is able to transform their walk in ways that they didn't imagine possible. As the two disciples walk and talk, a stranger joins them. And Luke says Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I mean, it sounds crazy. I mean, is it like people who don't realize that Clark Kent is Superman because of some glasses and a little curled forelock? Is it like the stepmother and sisters not recognizing Cinderella at the ball? The risen Lord has come back from the dead. I mean, he's walking right beside them, talking to them. And they don't even know it. They didn't recognize him. And you know, that is a common human flaw, not recognizing Jesus when he shows up. Ever wonder why Jesus didn't immediately reveal himself to Cleopas and his companion? Side note, but his companion is not. It is reasonable to assume that the companion is female, since women were never or were rarely mentioned by name in Scripture. So ever wonder why Jesus didn't reveal himself right away? Perhaps it's because grace often works that way. I mean, sometimes we can't recognize grace until we've traveled alongside it for a while. We are often clueless as we walk along life's way. We don't have an instruction manual or a map or GPS. I mean, we're often confused about roles and expectations. We muddle through midlife transitions, and we are unaware that our values are misaligned with the core ethics we normally confess. And when Jesus shows up, we are not necessarily in a place where we can readily acknowledge that we are in the presence of the divine. And so here's what Jesus does. First, he listens. It's always good to have a Savior who listens and who hears our every word. He isn't like that annoying friend in the break room who always rushes to correct you or tell you what you should do. He doesn't interrupt to talk about himself. He simply lets them pour out their hearts, their confusion, their dashed hopes, and their grief. He gives them the gift of being heard. And that's precisely what many of us are looking for, to have someone really listen. Not just nod politely or wait their turn to speak, but to take our words seriously, even our complaints and doubts. And Jesus does that by letting the Emmaus disciples say everything that's on their mind, even when they get the story wrong and their perspective is clouded. He listens with patience. He listens with compassion. He speaks and he teaches. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. Right there on the road, Jesus conducts a Bible study. And this should give us hope. Most of our days aren't filled with mountaintop experiences. I mean, they're filled with ordinary walking, running errands, loading the dishwasher, taking the first grader to ballet lesson, cleaning up after the dog, getting a carton of milk from the store, or making a mad dash because there's a boil order in effect and we must have cases and cases of water. And where is Jesus? Well, Jesus is actually walking right alongside of you, probably telling you to just take what you're going to need from the water, leave the rest for others. But that's another story. He's waiting for you. He is listening to you and ready to speak. He might be saying, "Those who have ears, let them hear." And when the two disciples reach Emmaus, they urge the stranger to stay. Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly gone. And Jesus goes with them and sits with them and breaks bread with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Sound familiar? This is Eucharistic language, the same pattern in the Last Supper. But then something amazing happens. In the breaking of bread, the eyes of the disciples are opened. Or as I quoted from the Gen Z Bible, their eyes popped open. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their midst. What is interesting about this is that when we ask Jesus to stay with us, he does. And he reveals himself to us. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear, I will come in and I will eat with you and I will be with you and you will be with me. And in the case of Cleopas and his friend, there was another startling development. I mean, after the big reveal, they were stunned. And they realized what had happened. And so they forget that they, you know, were walking away from Jerusalem. And they set back off towards the city to tell the disciples what had happened. In short, God meets us in our disillusionment. Faith unfolds slowly, and the road becomes sacred when we walk it with Christ. This is the gift of walking with Jesus. So let your walk be a prayer. Let your road be a conversation. And let your steps open space for grace, because God is still showing up on roads that we never expected to walk. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.